announcement time is always really funny because it feels awkward to give you all these announcements, and there's a lot of them today. So I've actually decided I'm going to start with announcing that we have a guest today from Bright Alternatives. Tiffany, if you can just wave. This is Tiffany. She's lovely. You should get to know her, but she works with the Wellsville chapter of Bright Alternatives, which is a crisis pregnancy center helping both men and women who are expecting babies on the way so that they can be equipped and choose life in every sense of the word. And she's going to be sticking around after the service, both for our picnic, which is another announcement, and just as we're finishing up, she'll be out in the foyer. Just stop by. Even if you're already very familiar with Bright Alternatives, introduce yourself, encourage her. Sometimes being in ministries where you're dealing with a lot of weighty things, it can get overwhelming and lonely, and any opportunity you have to build up and encourage our sister and learn a little bit more about this ministry would be wonderful. So that's Tiffany. She'll be around. Some of our kind of more routine things on Monday night at 6 o'clock, there's a men's Bible study. They're working through the book of 1 Corinthians, meeting here in the building. And on Wednesday, there's a prayer meeting at 7 p.m. All are welcome to be there. So those of you who don't know, on Monday we started our bathroom remodel project, which is great, but it's not done. It's taking just a couple days longer than we thought it should be. By next Sunday, no problem. So you will see, for those of you that don't know, the bathrooms are down this hallway, but you will see that they are shut because they are not functioning right now. However, at the end of that hallway, there is, it says pastor's office, but there's a bathroom in there that is open for the use. And then in this hallway back here, there is another one, signs for both. So anybody, they're men and women and children can use the bathroom, not at the same time. And please, church, watch for our updated signage on both Route 19 and on Hanover Hill. I know we've been talking about it for like 2.5 years, but we're almost there. And then the final announcement is that this is our annual church picnic day, and I see a lot of guests. I want to be as clear as I possibly can that you are really welcome to stay. If there's one thing, I mean, this church does a lot of things well, but one that has never been in doubt is the ability to throw a party and to have always more than enough food. Somehow, it doesn't matter how many people we have, how many are unexpected, we are still shoving food in Ziploc bags and trying to send people home with it. So there's more than enough. There's more than enough seats. If you have brought yourself, you have brought enough. So we would really love to have you stay. Plus, there's a lot of fun. We've got can jam and cornhole and a really, really cool mini golf set that you'd want to see. So please stick around. This is your invitation. It is formal, and we really would love it if you'd accept. As long as you are here, you've brought enough. And I believe that's it for announcements. Did I miss anything, church? Okay. All right. I talk too long always, but there were a lot of announcements today. So next thing, I need 2 volunteers to walk the plates up and down for anybody who is on your heart to give an offering to the Lord this morning. I've got Denny and Eric.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we have the honor and privilege to give back to you, Lord, in our tithes and offering. And we just ask that you would use them, bless them, and just allow us to give them gladly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Children's, am I on? I believe I'm on now. Children's Church with Sister Carol, if you want to come now. You'll have a great time, promise. Oh, and there's lots of happy kids to go today. All right. Tiffany and family, there she goes. Want to welcome you guys. I'm just so thrilled that you can be here today. I'm going to hold my comments on that for just a minute. She's going to be right back. So, as Shay said, please don't be shy. We usually bring a dish to pass, and I know if I show up someplace and I find out that it was dish to pass, I'm like, oh no. I want to curl up and die, and I can't be here, and oh, just come, you know. Well, you know, you feel funny if everybody's bringing something, you didn't bring anything. It doesn't matter. We, as Shay said, we always have so much that it's a blessing. I am super excited for a representation from Bright Alternatives today. We live in post Roe v. Wade. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. Now, that doesn't mean that the battle is over. The battle is on. But what an incredible victory. So in our state, there is such spiritual warfare against life. And I know Tiffany would say, yep, there really is. So thank God we have a place in our town, a presence on Main Street that is standing for life. If you get a chance, and they're open, you should stop in and say hello. And and if you still haven't brought your baby bottle in, bring your baby bottle in. I think mine finally came. I'm telling everybody to bring theirs in, and I'm always the last one. The pastor is the last one to show up with their baby bottle. But we collected, for those of you who don't know, we collected change in baby bottles to help support that ministry. And we really believe in the ministry of life. We believe that life begins at conception, life is sacred, God creates life, and that abortion is murder. And there is no nice way to say it. Abortion is murder, and the laws that we have had on our books that permit abortion, they're evil. And I'd be happy if you have any questions to talk with you about that after service. But frankly, our church is a church that stands for life. We love children, we love kids, and we'll fight for every life that we can fight for. Glory to God. So life is very, very precious, and we value it. So thank you for all your work, and we're praying for the ministry down there. And I understand that there may be some relocation in your future, but Bright Alternatives is not leaving. That ministry will be there and continue, and we want to support that in every way we can. So, glory to God. If you have any questions, or maybe you feel like you'd like to somehow support Bright Alternatives in any other way, I'm sure Tiffany would be more than happy to talk to you after service, and they've got a table, so please avail yourself of that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we wanted to discuss. Denise Wastorf is homesick today with suspected COVID. So we can pray for her. I don't think that she's seriously ill, but let's lift her up, and any others on your heart that may need a touch from the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up our sister Denise to you today. And Lord, even as some of her relatives have tested positive, we pray that you would touch her body. God, that you would deliver her, that you would free her from illness, and that you would touch her body with your mighty hand, Lord. God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. So touch Denise, Lord. Help her to quickly recover. And Father, any others on our hearts today who need the touch of your Spirit to heal their bodies, we pray, Father, that you would reach them and heal their infirmities. Who healeth all my diseases? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone have a testimony today? Anyone have a testimony of something good that God has done? I have one, but I don't want to do all the talking. Nobody. Okay. Well, we had quite a day yesterday, and we made a run out after everything that we did. We tried to sneak in a little recreation here and there, and so we ran out to Allegheny State Park with our kayaks and thought we were going to get to kayak and swim, and we got in the water about 15 minutes and tweet, get out, thunder and lightning, so we had to leave, and we ended up going back to Cuba Lake, and we paddled around there for a little while, and we got home, and we were kind of preparing some things for this morning, and my head just started to hurt. It just started to hurt, and I thought, oh boy, what is this? And I thought, well, I get these headaches, and they just go away. They come, and they go. Usually they're gone. And this didn't go away, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse, and it got to the point where I felt sick. And I thought, what am I going to do? And it was just pounding like my head was going to explode. I didn't know what to do. I just went in and sat on the couch. I tried to eat something, and I went to bed. I laid in bed and figured I'll sleep it off. All night long, my head just... And then my chest started to be uncomfortable, and I'm like, oh, come on, tell me, Lord, please. And my wife prayed for me. I got up this morning. I brought myself downstairs, and I started to work on my message. I started to work a little bit more on PowerPoint and continued to pray. And I'm standing up in front of you now, and my headache is gone. Right before service, I thought, oh boy, I asked Denny to pray for me. We came up for worship team practice, and my head was just like this. It's gone. Glory to God. It's not there. It doesn't hurt. God is good. So we believe that God heals. He does. And when he doesn't, he gives grace, and we walk through things. But God is good. We've been talking about evangelism. And we've been spending a lot of time talking about what the Scripture says because it's God's intention for the church to reproduce. Just like the first family, he made Adam and Eve, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So he says that to the church. He wants us to be a reproducing organism, something where we don't just partake of the goodness of God for our life, but then that life that we have inside of us, we have the opportunity to bring that to other people. And so we've been spending a lot of time talking about evangelism. One thing that was very clear to me a week ago Saturday, we had an outreach on Main Street with a number of the churches in the area. It was wonderful. I don't know how many churches were there, but it just was a wonderful spirit working together. But I was very, very aware that in this day and age, it's not the same as it used to be. People... We live in a day where people are not as likely to come to church. You know, you invite them, you try to tell them, come, and they're just not as likely to come. So that means we have to be willing to go out and get them. I was astounded when we were on Main Street at how many people wanted to come and hear about the Christian ministries. Katie, you probably had lots of people at your table, didn't you? I mean, I made so many balloon animals, my finger was ready to fall off, and gave out so many tracts, and Gills Hills was there, and the Salvation Army had stuff, and people were just hungry. But it took us being willing to go out, and we're living in a day where people aren't going to take the first step toward us, we have to be willing to take that step toward them. It doesn't mean that we stop inviting them to church. Please continue to invite people. And it doesn't preclude us from having events to invite people to and having, you know, evangelistic kinds of things. But in the age that we are in, if we wait for them to come to us, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We have got to be willing to take the light that is in us out to other people. So, how do you do that? How do you do it? People tell me, you know, they understand, yeah, I should tell other people, I should share my faith. But, Pastor Dave, it's terrifying. It's really scary. Some people just really struggle with fear. Now, be truthful. When you've had opportunity or desire to share the gospel, have you ever struggled with fear? I must be the only person in this. Yeah. Fear will come against you when you want to step up and share the life of Christ that you have with somebody else. We're afraid of people's reaction, or maybe somebody will get mad, or maybe they won't like us anymore, or maybe they'll yell, or we imagine all kinds of things that most of the time never even happen. But yes, it can feel daunting, and thankfully we have some very clear examples in the Gospels of Jesus having personal evangelistic ministry with people. And I'd like to walk through it today. I'm going to spend most of my time in the Gospel of John, but two encounters that Jesus had with individuals who were unbelievers were Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus came to see him at night, and that's where Jesus told him, You're a teacher in Israel and you don't understand these things? A man has to be born again. And you don't go back into your mother's womb. You're born of the Spirit of God. And then there was the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. And in both of those events, they had some remarkable differences. The Nicodemus was a man, the Samaritan woman obviously was, a Samaritan woman was obviously a woman. Nicodemus' encounter was intentional. Hers was not. Nicodemus was a respected Jewish leader and she was an immoral woman. Nicodemus was respectful toward Jesus. As we look at this in a moment, we're going to see that the woman at the well, at best, she was indifferent and defensive. She wasn't real friendly for a while in her interaction. He was educated and she was very unlearned. As great as the differences were in these two instances where Jesus ministers to these unbelievers, their spiritual need was the same. It was exactly the same. They both needed a relationship with God, not a form of religion. You know what? Who needs more? Anybody want more religion? Ew. We need more Jesus, more God, more relationship, and not more religious things that we do. The encounter with Nicodemus ended abruptly, and we aren't told we don't really know whether Nicodemus really made a decision or not, but the woman at the well made a clear decision that affected her entire community, and John chapter 4 is going to give us a very complete, detailed description of that whole encounter. And while every personal encounter with an unbeliever is different and unique, this account has key principles in it that you can apply to any encounter that you have with an unbeliever to be able to share with them. So I want to go right to John chapter 4, and this is the encounter of Jesus with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. This is John chapter 4, verse 1. when Jesus realized that the Pharisees were aware that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. Now he had to pass through Samaria. Now that is noteworthy. Jesus had to go through Samaria. The Jews would go absolutely out of their way and take this huge, extra long route to avoid Samaria. If you were here last week, we talked about the issues that the Jews and the Samaritans had, and I don't want to go over all of that again. Suffice to say that the Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. They both accused each other of false religion. The Samaritans were viewed as half-breeds, and so the Jews, they would take this horrendous route way out of their way to avoid going through Samaria. So the only reason that a Jew would ever think of going through Samaria is if time was of the essence, if they needed to, because otherwise it's just too long a route. So here's Jesus, and he had to go through Samaria. And for whatever reason he decides to go through, he comes and verse 5, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Since Jacob's well was there, Jesus, weary from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. The sixth hour means noon, and in that part of the world, it's hot. At noon, it is really warm. So, and Jesus has been walking. He didn't get to ride his tool, his little Mini Cooper across the country. He's doing it on foot. He's walking. So there he is, and he sits down, and he's tired. He's legitimately tired. So he sits down at this well, and an opportunity comes. Bang. Most opportunities to share the gospel don't come because we've created an evangelistic outreach program. Yeah, let's bring in a guest speaker. Let's put out balloons. You know, most opportunities to share the gospel happen out of your normal life. I was telling them the other day. You weren't here, Randy. They went to you went to some boardwalk. In Hollywood, Florida, didn't you tell me that by the time you had done walks, and you prayed for 20 people or something?
Actually, we were there for a few days, and it was over a few day period. Every time we'd go out to dinner, we would always talk, we'd do it in whoever. And
yeah.
I guess there were a lot of times we went out, and we had we counted about 20.
And most of the opportunities that you get to share the gospel and the life of Christ with people just happen out of ordinary life. Just as you live your life, there's the opportunity. They come while we're doing ordinary activities of life, and then God opens a door. Verse 7 and 8 says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. So this was just a normal reason to interact with somebody. He was thirsty. He was hot. He was thirsty. He asked her for a drink. But the Holy Spirit goes before and works in those things. And every time you have an opportunity to share with somebody, know that the Holy Spirit is already at work. It's not like he's 15 steps behind you, like you do it, and then suddenly the Spirit's going to rush in. No, the Holy Spirit is at work, because just as we try to speak to people about the kingdom of God, God is already reaching out to them. His Spirit is already working in hearts, and you can trust that when you get to share with somebody something, that God is already tugging at their heart. There are other ways you'll know that, that I'll tell you in just a minute. Oh, some that aren't as much fun. But this was just a normal reason to interact. But it's interesting that later in the chapter, John 4:38, Jesus says, do you not say there are still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe for harvest. Already the reaper draws his wages and gathers a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For this cause, the saying one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and now you have taken up their labor. So when you go to share with somebody, it's very likely that somebody else has already put some labor in there. Either the Holy Spirit is working in their heart, or somebody else has. I know when I finally got saved, when I became a Christian back when I was a student at Fredonia State University, by the time that somebody shared the gospel the last time before I accepted Christ, I had had encounters with Christians over and over and over and over. I'd meet them in Kmart. I'd run into them. Once I was in the hospital and I had some guy come laying hands on me and praying over me. People would just witness to me all the time. It just seemed like I was running into people that were sharing the gospel. So understand that as we share, we don't know what God is at work at, but we are entering into it. It's not like God just takes you and says, here, go preach the gospel to people, and then he picks you up and throws you in the lake. There, go swim. You know, it's not like that. The Holy Spirit works with us and works in us and helps us to be able to do that. I would say that it will usually cost us a little bit of time, or it might be a little inconvenient. And you never know how it's going to happen. One day we were driving to church up here, and we driving along, and I hear BAM! And I knew what that sound was. My tire was gone. And I'm like, oh God, we're trying to get to church. So I got out, and yeah, my tire's flat. So I went over to the Sunoco station on Main Street, and I get in line. And wouldn't you know, the person in front of me walks up to the check, to the cashier, and says, hey, does anybody know where the Full Gospel Church is? And I said, okay, Lord. I said, yep, I can help you with that. You never know how your circumstances may give you an opportunity to share. Maybe a little inconvenient, may cost you some time, but God can use it. Verse 9, the woman back at the well, she says, you are a Jew, said the woman. How can you ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans, which is a gigantic understatement. They hated each other. We'll talk about a little more about that in a minute. Obviously, clear social barriers being broached here with Jesus. Number one, she was a Samaritan, the enemy of the Jews. And there was clear social segregation right there. The Jews didn't talk to the Samaritans did not talk to the Jews. Number two, she was a woman, and in the normal custom of that day, sorry ladies, but in that day, the normal custom would have prohibited public conversations between men and women. They didn't do it. So here is Jesus at the well, and he's talking to a woman who is a Samaritan. It's like, what on earth is happening here? How could this be? And then he asks for a drink from her pot. If he is to drink out of her pot, that is going to make him ceremonially unclean according to Jewish tradition. He knew that. And yet, he asked a Samaritan woman for a drink out of her pot, knowing all of the problems that was going to make for him. Yeah. Unbelievable. You know, even the most committed Christians, and I'm one of these people, that we develop a mental profile of the kind of people that we think that God will use us to reach, and it's usually people just like us. You know, I like people who are like me, and God wants us to be ready to reach across social barriers, to reach people with the gospel, people who may be culturally and socially completely and utterly different from us. And you know, all people's basic needs are the same. Their spiritual needs are the same. Everybody needs peace with God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the other thing that I have noticed is that most people want to be loved. They want to be loved. And if you're willing to love people in Jesus' name, they're going to respond to that. Oh, I have found people that if I had walked up to them and said, you know, I want to tell you about Jesus, they'd be like this. But if I come to them and say, oh, can I help you with that? I would love to help you, or what can I do? All of a sudden, the door to their heart swings open because somebody cares about them. There's lots of people in the world that nobody cares about them. I looked at a cashier the other day, and she handed me my slip, and I stopped for a moment, and I looked at her, and I said, God bless you. Jesus loves you. And she looked at me like, her mouth kind of dropped open, and she said, thank you so much. I don't know if anybody ever took a minute to just let her know that she was loved. Oh, man. And we have that opportunity. Verse 10, when the Samaritan woman came... Nope, I'm in the wrong place. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Okay, so here Jesus is just... This statement reveals that Jesus has seen a spiritual hunger in this woman. Oh boy, it's there. He recognizes it, and he's just turned that conversation away from all of the issues, all of the social stuff, and he said, wait a minute, let's talk about what really matters. Living water. He saw her spiritual hunger. She was living in sin, as we'll see in a minute, but Jesus saw her heart's desire for spiritual truth. There was a heart's cry in there, and Jesus recognized it. And no matter how people may appear on the outside or how negative their reactions might be or their attitude might be, God is wanting to reach their spiritual hunger. And I have discovered, as I share the gospel, sometimes people react. They don't like it. Sometimes people get angry. And you know, I'm not put off by that. Do you know why? Because when people react, that means they're struggling with conviction. They've got to say something negative because they've got to somehow deflect from what's inside them saying, hey, 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 you need this. Have you ever encountered, you know, maybe family members that are like, don't talk to me about that. I know a few guys whose wives prayed for them for years, and just before they got saved, they were the worst. I don't want to hear any more about their gospel. Ah! They get saved. you don't know what's happening inside a person's heart. But especially when they get negative and angry or reactionary, you better believe God is after them. I wouldn't recommend poking the bear too much, but... Yeah. So they're usually dealing with some level of conviction. Verses 11 and 12. Oh boy. The woman replied, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then will you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Now she's defensive. It's like, wait a minute. And do you hear what she says? It's just flat out insulting. Do you think you're better than our patriarch Jacob? He drank from this well. He gave us this well. You think you're better than him? Jacob, who was renamed Israel, one of the patriarchs of the Jewish nation. And she's saying, who do you think you are? Really, that's what she's saying. She's getting a little cranky. Says Jesus isn't greater than Jacob. Now, Jesus could have responded defensively. Whoa, no, wait a minute. Or he could have spoken something about him as Jesus as being greater than Jacob. He did not do either of those things. Instead, he refused to be drawn into that discussion. He avoided it completely. Our job is not to enter into arguments. You've ever had people try to argue with you? Oh, I've had people argue with me. Oh, can God make a rock so big he can't lift it? You know, these stupid things that people... I'm sorry. That's not very nice. Our job is not to win arguments. It's to win people. And I had asked your husband to share his I hate to share his testimony for him. Curtis, before Curtis got saved, Randy's husband, he was an arguer. He was, wasn't he? He was like a philosophical kind of thinker, and he was an arguer. He would argue. He's the kind of guy that you would want to have on the debate team at high school. You want him on your side. And Randy's brother, Danny, he is an evangelist. He just shared the gospel with everybody and all kinds of people down on Long Island. I don't know how many people he must have brought to the Love Church down there. He just keep dragging them in. And God used him. And Curtis would talk to Danny on the phone, and he was like, what about... And all Danny would say is, well, I don't really know about that, but Jesus really loves you. And Curtis would say, yeah, but what about... And Danny would say, well, I don't know, but Jesus loves you, Curtis. He loves you. And Curtis said that got to him. It cut right through all of the arguments. It cut past all of this stuff, and it got right to his heart. Because isn't that the issue? Our job is not to argue with people. It's to show them Jesus and let them know that Jesus loves them and can change their life. It's usually not helpful to enter into arguments with people about moral or social issues. It's really not very helpful to enter into arguments with some of the Mormon missionaries and Jehovah's Witnesses that come to your door. Don't stand there and argue with them. But you can share your testimony. They've been taught to argue. They've been taught to argue with you and to make you question things. They have an argument, but you have a testimony. All they have is their doctrine and the things that they can tell you they think. But you can tell them about your living relationship with Jesus Christ and what he's done in your life, how he's set you free. Guess what? They don't have that. All they have is arguments and teaching and stuff. I don't know what else to call it. It's just error. But a testimony. And I've heard it said that a person with an argument is always at the mercy of the person with a testimony. And it's true. It is true. Verse 13. We got to keep moving. Sorry. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a fount of water springing up to eternal life." So here this woman accuses him, and what does Jesus do? He just brings it right back to relationship. Right back again. But it's something that she could relate to. She was there to get water. And water was an essential thing in their day, and it's just like it is now. But see, for us, you can go to the tap and turn your water on. It's easy. You can go to the store and get a bunch of bottled water or whatever you want. It's not hard. Back then, it was a chore to get your water. Some of those women would carry these big heavy pots on their head all the way out, fill them up, walk back with them, and maybe they did that many times a day. I don't know. But this was a tough thing. Jesus listened to her, and he took something she could relate to and brought it into a spiritual truth. Everybody who drinks this water is going to be thirsty again, but I can give you water so you won't ever have to thirst again. Sometimes they call this response evangelism. I'm not into titles very much, but following the interests and needs of somebody and relating it to a spiritual concern. And you can see how Jesus does that. He makes creative connections. And when you're sharing with people, the Holy Spirit can give you ideas and connections and help you to make connections with people where you can relate their needs and their desires with what their real needs and desires are and their real spiritual needs. God can do that as you prayerfully listen to people. I've had the Lord drop the coolest ideas in my head at times just as I'm listening to somebody and kind of praying, and God opens the door. And I've noticed that there's a subject that everybody is very interested and eager about talking about. Can you guess what it is? I've discovered people are always willing to talk about this. Themselves. People like to talk about themselves. And I find asking somebody, if I meet them, I'll ask them about their occupation. I'll say, so what do you do? And it kind of invite them to begin to tell me about their life, about themselves. Sometimes I'll ask them about their family, about their kids. People will open up and start to tell you things, and then God is able to give you opportunities to make connections in there, or maybe prayer needs will come up out of that. And then you can say, can I pray for you about that? Or I believe God could meet that need in your life. And mind you, I want to be genuine about it. I'm not talking about talking to people so I can manipulate the conversation. I really want to know about people. I want to know about people's lives. I want to know what they do. I want to know about them because God knows about them and God loves them. And it's important to take a genuine interest in people and in their hearts and lives and love them because God does. And then amazingly, opportunities for spiritual applications will come up. Testimonies can be shared. Prayers, prayer requests, prayer needs can come up. It's wonderful. Verse 16, Jesus told her, go, call your husband and come back. You'll notice at the end, she says, sir, give me this water so that I will not get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Yeah, what a pain. So he's relating to her, but she hasn't really got it yet. So Jesus says, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, the woman said. Jesus said to her, you are correct to say that you have no husband. In fact, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. You have spoken truthfully. Jesus intentionally raises the issue of her sin. And in sharing the gospel, the issue of sin cannot be avoided in true evangelism. It just can't. The good news can only be understood in the context of the bad news, that there is the gospel and there's forgiveness, but there's also sin. And I don't think people can get saved, give their heart to Jesus Christ without an understanding of their spiritual need to be forgiven of their sins. And, you know, it's important to when you talk to people, to do that graciously. Most people, except people who are really, really tough, hard people, will admit that they sin. They say, yeah, I've done things wrong. I've lied. I've cheated. I stole something, you know. They don't usually like to admit to being a sinner. And I don't usually try to convince them of that. I just try to turn it around by talking about how I'm a sinner. that my life was like that, and how I found Christ. We address sin, but it's important to do it graciously and not so that it looks like something self-righteous. Well, you sin. You know, it isn't like that. Everybody is a sinner, but we have a great need. And so all of a sudden, her sin is just laid right out in the sun. Yow! A word of knowledge comes right out of Jesus and reveals it. And she says, "Sir," the woman said, "I see that you are a prophet." Smart girl, yeah. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that the place where one must worship is in Jerusalem." So now we come to the great diversion, religion. She immediately gravitates away from this issue that Jesus brings up, and she wants to begin a religious discussion. So her question is about where people should worship, Mount Gerizim or Jerusalem, and Jesus just steers it right back and lets her know that it's not where they should worship, it's how they should worship. And again, he brings her back to relationship. Some people will want to engage anything to divert. They'll want to engage you in any kind of religious thing to avoid relationship issues. I've had people argue with me about baptism. Oh, I was sprinkled as a child. Well, do you believe in sprinkling or immersion? And I just say, well, you can start out as a dry sinner and you can finish as a wet sinner. It's not the water that's going to cleanse you and forgive you. You need a relationship with Christ and bring it back to what is important. And so when you share with people, it's important to discern whether it's going to be productive discussion or whether it's just a diversion. Anything that moves away from a personal relationship to Jesus Christ, it's counterproductive. Verses 21, and believe it or not, we're really coming into the home zone here. "Believe me, woman," Jesus said. Actually, 2 Timothy 2:14. "Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It has no value and only ruins those who listen." So it's just, again, not worth getting into that kind of a discussion. Verse 21, Jesus says, "Believe me, woman," Jesus replied, "a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such as these to worship him. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." So Jesus guides her away from her little religious discussion to the real issue again, her need to worship God from her heart in truth and in spirit. Glory to God. God wants people to have a relationship with him. Anyone we talk to, understand that God is already pursuing them. Verses 25 and 26, and we'll come to a close with this. "The woman said, 'I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.' Jesus answered, 'I who speak to you am he.'" There's the revelation of the central message. Jesus reveals himself to her. He said, "Here I am. Come to me." And ultimately, our job is not to convince anyone of anything. It's just to introduce them to Jesus. That's our job. Introduce them to Jesus. Love them and help them to see who Jesus is. And then the woman was off. She went from arguing and doubting in an immoral life to an evangelist in like 3 seconds, boom. And she runs into town and she says, come see this guy. He told me everything. And she, I don't know how many people, she practically dragged him out of the town to come and see Jesus because she saw life in him. And now she wanted the rest to have life. She didn't come and say, hey, you guys, you need to turn from your sins like me. No, she went out and said, come see this guy. Come meet him. He's awesome. He's amazing. And that's your job. Go out and tell people, Jesus is awesome. He's amazing. And then love him, relate to him, reach him, and God will use you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that it's your desire for us to receive life from you, and we're so grateful. But then you want us to take that life and share it with other people. And Father, sometimes it's very daunting, and sometimes it's a little uncomfortable. But God, I pray that you would help us first, that you would help us to love people, that you would help us to care about their needs and to be interested in them and their heart and where they are. And then, Father, to point them to Jesus as the answer. Father, not always the solution to their problems, but the answer to their deepest heart's needs. Father, I pray that you would put that seed of desire in us to reproduce, to bring life of the gospel to other people, even as we saw in this scripture that Jesus kept directing and directing her back heavenward. Help us, Father. Thank you for it. And Father, we thank you that we get to have a time of fellowship today and we can enjoy being with other people. We pray that you would bless our fellowship and our food and our time together. And Lord, we pray that you would hold out off the raindrops, Lord, and give us a nice afternoon. Help us, Father. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you want prayer, we always offer that at the end. We are a church that believes in healing and deliverance. And if you're here today and you have a need, please don't leave without getting prayer. Otherwise, God bless you. We invite you to stay and enjoy the picnic. We'll be starting very shortly, I think. But if you would like prayer, please come now. And otherwise, God bless you. Thank you for coming. And please come and enjoy the picnic with us today. Amen.